Don't sweat the technique. You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
He's Blank, I'm Branham. We are the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line. 9361, why not resign Cashman? We'll get to that in this conversation here a little bit, too. We'll talk about Grenard in a moment. You guys were mentioning that Framber Valdez had a good spring training start today. He was not calling his own pitches. That's cool.
I think he started it and then scrapped it.
He started his game that way?
I think so.
Huh. Yeah. He doesn't need to be calling his own pitches. That's the last guy I need calling his own pitches. Brian, you said there was a spotted quote about it?
Yeah, let me pull it up. But basically, I'll summarize it as I'm pulling up, and you can come back to me. But basically, he talked about wanting Framber to focus on his mechanics and his pitching, and not what pitch to call.
It's a great idea. Don't let Framber Valdez call his own pitches. He does not need to call his own pitches. All right, John Grenard is a Minnesota Viking. John Grenard left the Houston Texans immediately, too. He's like one of the first signings of the day. The details on the John Grenard contract, 4 years, $76 million. That's $19 million AAV. A good chunk of it is guaranteed as well. $42 million is guaranteed. Should the Texans have been the team to give John Grenard a 4 year, $76 million deal, 42 guaranteed?
Now, this breaking news is not Texans related, but we just talked about it last segment from Woj. Rocket center Alperen Şengün has escaped major injury.
Yes.
It is a bone bruise.
That's great news.
Yeah. So he obviously will be fine for next year. We'll see if he comes back later in the year.
That is the absolute best case scenario to have that play out the way it did. Leaving on a wheelchair, unless you pooped yourself like Paul Pierce, is never a good thing. And we didn't find about that till a long time later.
Hey, don't put that on Şengün.
I'm saying, thank God, when you leave on a wheelchair, it looks like it's serious.
Yeah, so bone bruise, and of course, as you mentioned, the sprained ankle, nothing severe or major that would impact next season.
I mean, we look like a severely sprained ankle.
Sure. I'm just saying nothing that would impact next year. No meniscus or ACL or anything like
that's
that.
That's great news. I kind of had a hunch that's what it was. Because, like, him yelling, it's my ankle. I know he was holding his knee, but a lot of times you hold your knee for, like, stability a little bit for the ankle. And if it's bruised, then it makes sense. I was trying to find – I actually Googled this earlier today. Athletes that get injured, they get wheelchaired off. Because I thought him bending his knee was a sign that it wasn't a torn ACL.
Oh, for sure. And the other thing I was looking at was the direction of his foot.
Yeah.
Because normally if you have an ankle break, it's going to the side one way or the other. And he was able to position that too. And then when the MRI didn't happen last night, I felt like, and they did the X-ray, that I felt like that it was a good sign.
Yeah. Yeah. Him, like, they have wheeled guys off of ACLs before, though. But the way that he, like, had the knee bent and, like, wasn't at all, like, grabbing at the knee after they bent it,
Will isolate it almost immediately. Yeah. They'll bring out one of those air casts or the brace alone and not let anybody move it.
Yeah, I was encouraged about the knee bent, but I wasn't confident enough to tweet about it. The final game of the regular season for the Rockets is April 14th, so that's a little over a month away.
He's done for the year.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to play again this year.
No.
If I had to guess, nor do I want him to.
No, I wouldn't either.
Nor do I want him to. Like, I was calling for the Rockets to, like, play for ping pong balls and stuff. Like, I didn't really want them to tank. It's just if they lost, then, like, oh, well, they can get more ping pong balls and maybe they can land in the top four. But I do like the fight that they've had. So, like, it's cool that they've been playing hard. I'm in favor of that. But I don't want him to rush back and then, like, hey, this is an injury that carries over into training camp. Just get 100% right, ready for next year. Perfectly fine by that. And then also, let's see what this team looks like with Jalen Green as the best scorer.
We've also talked about the fact that we wanted to see the development of these young players. We've seen enough development in Alpi already to know what he can do. And this team isn't going anywhere for this year. So he's already proven what he can do. We know what he's going to be. He's good. Put him on the shelf. Don't risk further injury. No need to rush back to try and do something that you're not going to do anyway, like make the play-in or make the playoffs. Make sure he's 100% for next year, because that's where it all begins. Like you said, now it gives more minutes to more guys that you still are evaluating to see that kind of progress from.
Yeah, so good news on the Alpi Şengün. I wouldn't imagine he plays again this year, but good news for him being able to start next season on time, that's for sure. All right, John Grenard, would you have given him this 4 year, $19 million per deal?
I would not.
$76 million.
Too many years, and that's right on the cusp of where I said was too much money. His track record said that he had his greatest year last year. Good for him. But that overall, his track record of injuries and the inconsistencies, not something I was signing up for, and I had said that.
Yeah. I would not have given him the 19 mil per year. The area where I think that Nick Caserio screwed up here, though, is by not giving him the franchise tag. Because the franchise tag was right around $21 million. If somebody's going to give John Gernard a four-year deal, 19 mil per, with 45 of that guaranteed, I think that team would also be willing to give you a third-round pick for the ability to sign that contract. I think that the Texans cost them, and it's not like this make-or-break thing. They're going to get John Gernard compensation. We'll see where it plays out. Probably will be in the fourth round, maybe.
I don't know. I was kind of thinking this contract might mean it ends up as a third round pick, but we'll see. It's third or fourth.
So third or fourth. So it's not a huge screw up. Like, we don't know what John Gernard would have gotten on the trade market. You delay the pick by a year and maybe a round. Maybe a round. You don't know that for sure. So it's not a huge screw up. But at the same time, like, this is a sport where you win games in the margins. You're being able to get a pick sooner rather than later matters. Like, usually you could trade a third round pick for a future second, so you lose like the interest rate for that trade. I feel like the Texans could have won this a little bit better by giving John Gernard the franchise tag. I think it was a minor mistake by Nick Caserio.
Yeah, I see your point. To me, it was just one of those things where I think they knew all along that they weren't going to re-sign him. And this indicates to me that they could find out pretty easily there was going to be a market for John Gernard services.
Mm-hmm.
If there's a market for John Gernard services, then teams are going to be, you know, negotiating all over the place, trying to figure out what's the way to one-up everybody else and get who they want. Well, the best way is to control it.
Yeah.
Right? So that's why I see your point. I mean, you could control the entire circumstances of saying everybody wants John Gernard. What are you trading for him?
I would have done the tag. I'm surprised. I'm a little surprised that they didn't, because they never used the tag.
And God forbid he sticks and stays. He's still basically for 1 year, not 4 years.
It's more affordable.
Yeah, a guy that's coming off his best season. So at least there's something that you could bank on that he could do that again.
21 for one, I'll take over 76 every day, all for four. So I think that they lost minor on that. And then the Brian Cashman deal, Blake Cashman, rather.
So he went from general manager to linebacker?
Brian Cashman not having a good day, by the way. Garrett Cole having an MRI on his right elbow. That's not fantastic news. Blake Cashman also signed with the Vikings. So Texans North up there in Minnesota. 3-year deal, $25.5 million. Do you feel like the Texans missed out on this one?
I don't. I think they dodged a bullet, because I think that's what he was looking for. That could have really handcuffed Nick Caserio with money, like we were talking about earlier, in terms of what else he could do, who else he could spend on, and what players he could bring in the fold. It would have been nice to have him back. He played his best football in a Texans uniform. It's going to be real interesting to see if he lives up to that contract in Minnesota, playing in their defensive scheme and doing the same kind of things. He was way better than I thought he was going to be in coverage. He was all over the football field. He played great while he was here, but he played at a really good and affordable contract. Now he's really got to earn it with more eyes on him and more microscopes being focused because of the money he's making. I'm not sure he's going to live up to that for the length of that contract.
You want to be the team that drafts Chandler Parsons in the second round, not pay him
Correct.
Max money. This is the Blake Cashman deal. You want to be the team that finds him on value, plays above that value. You don't want to be the team that signs Blake Cashman to a 3-year, $25.5 million deal. I think it's too much as well. I would not have been in the business there. I think the Texans want to upgrade at that spot. Like, there's a reason that D'Amico Ryan says he wants to improve in his front seven. He wants to improve against the run. I don't think he was too pleased with his linebacker play last year. I think Denzel Perryman's going to be gone. He hasn't signed anywhere, but I don't think he's going to be picked up by the Texans. Blake Cashman is gone, and I think that they're going to try to upgrade around Christian Harris as well. So I have no problem with Blake Cashman leaving. I have no problem with John Gernard leaving.
I'm with you on both of them, because I think that they're replaceable at a more economical price. And I think that in certain cases, you'll probably find there are guys with a bigger upside for the long term, because you're going to get more return on the investment when you take into the factor in what you're paying them and what they're playing for.
4488, why do y'all think the Texans general manager did not use the franchise tag?
I think he had a lot of different guys that he was considering. But I think that probably because the guys he was considering, one in the case of Gernard, I don't think he was ever going to be in the ballpark and wanted to do what you wanted him to do, even if it was to trade him. I think his feeling was, I might need that tag for somebody else. And if he truly thinks he's getting that much money, we're not giving it to him. So he didn't do it. I think Schultz could have been a guy he could have done it with, and they got a deal done.
Yeah, I think there are only two options, though. I think
Schultz, Fairbairn you couldn't do it with because contractually he couldn't.
Yeah, apparently he had it in a clause in his deal. So those are the two options. I would have done it, but if I were to put my feet in the shoes of Nick Caserio, I think he felt that they had a shot at bringing John Gernard back. He didn't want to set the AAV north of $20, $21 million because he didn't want to bargain or negotiate with John Gernard's agent based on that figure. I think he wanted him to go test free agency, go test the market, report back. Let's see what you're hearing. And if it's a number that we feel comfortable with, maybe we match and maybe we beat it by a little bit. But once it got up to $19 million, I think it took Caserio out of the John Gernard business. But that would be my only guess as to why he didn't use the tag.
Yeah, I was unsure of why he wouldn't. Because if you do expect John Gernard to get a contract like this, wouldn't you then say he should franchise tag him, at least keep him on the 1 year, unless he doesn't value him as a player they want starting for the team going forward, which would also make no sense. So The only reason I could come up with is if they were just absolutely surprised by the market that Jonathan Gernard ended up having. Because if you'd expected the market to be strong, then you would franchise tag him and either trade him or you franchise tag him to keep him for the 1 year before you let him move on.
I think he misread Gernard's market.
That's the only explanation to me.
And I think that he had interest in bringing back Gernard.
I agree with that.
That's why you wouldn't franchise.
I think $15 million per year, and he's like, okay, well, cool. That's why we didn't give you the tag, because we don't want to negotiate 2021. You're hearing back 15. Cool, we'll give you 15 and a half. You stay home. Let's do business together. But kind of misread it, didn't tag him. It's 19. Eek, not paying that.
Yeah, no, because I think you're absolutely right. I think he was going to Daryl Morey the market. He was going to say, I'm not going to even mention to the press or anybody that he was going to think about the franchise tag, because that starts the bidding at 20. And I think that he was willing to run the risk of playing poker and saying, I think other guys are going to get more money early in free agency. He's going to be one of the guys that falls a little bit back, and maybe now he'll be at a salary that we can afford. It didn't happen. I was not expecting John Gernard to be one of the first free agents off the market and go that quickly at that dollar figure. But, I mean, I think everybody kind of swung and missed the market.
That is one kind of pushback on, you know, whether or not that's what happened with Caserio. The Danico Autry deal came down, what, about 3 hours after Jonathan Gernard? Maybe the Texans could have done all their due diligence and worked all out the details in the 3 hours that passed between missing on Gernard and Danico Autry. But part of me believes if they were ready to go on Danico Autry, as it seems they were, then maybe they were never really in on Gernard once we got to actual free agency.
Yeah. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. T. Higgins requested a trade. Are you calling Cincinnati? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
You're listening to the Killer Bees and some great music presented by RC Ranch,
the official beef jerky of the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo.
Whiskey Myers performing tonight at the rodeo. You know what I want right now?
Bourbon Brandon. Brandon?
Where'd you get a D?
I don't know. I've been reading Twitter.
I want a cold beer. Yeah, but I'm going to start being Brandon Bourbon for the Gentle Ben segments. That's a given.
You're going last name first?
I need Bourbon Brandon.
It was Bourbon Brandon.
Yeah, Bourbon Brandon.
You reversed.
Yeah, Bourbon Brandon's better than Brandon Bourbon.
You only go that third party, third pass through your third tense for your.
Yeah, I'm not the Rock.
But you are in the one commercial.
Hey, it's Branham. I don't think it's the third person. Okay. That's not the third person. Third person's whenever you're like talking. You're like the Rock says.
Yeah, the Branham says.
Yeah,
this.
They'd be like the Branham says this. The Branham thinks that the Texans shouldn't trade for Teagans. The Branham thinks that Nick Caserio is doing fine. That's the third person.
I see that.
Yeah,
I always remember that Ricky Henderson used to talk in the third person all the time because Ricky doesn't do that. Ricky does his contract. Ricky doesn't do those things.
T. Higgins has requested a trade, according to Adam Schefter. Higgins loves Cincinnati and hoped to be with the team long term, but is disappointed that the team has not had any talks about a long term contract extension since March of 2023. He's ready to move on to a new home. Translation: he wants to get paid. He wants a lot of money, and he wants long-term security. Should the Texans and Nick Caserio be in on T. Higgins? Should they be calling Cincinnati?
I would say no. I would not be calling them. You're going to have a Nico situation to have to work through here pretty quickly. And the other thing that we always say, that I always refer to it as the double whammy, but if you got a double whammy to get a guy, then I don't think it's worth doing at this point because of who's on your roster, what you're trying to do. And I think there are still question marks overall if he's a true wide receiver one. But the fact that you have to give up draft capital and assets to go get him, then you're going to have to overpay him from what he's looking for and what he thinks he's worth. And because he was tagged, that it just doesn't seem like the right situation and the right fit for the Texans.
I don't think you can pay two receivers. You kind of have to pick one.
Well, look at San Francisco right now, right? Because you're already paying Debo. They're not going to be able to pay Ayuk.
Some teams don't pay a receiver. Kansas City. Now you have to have an elite quarterback to be able to do that, which I think the Texans do have an elite quarterback to be able to do that. So I'm not in favor of paying for two elite receivers, certainly. I would be interested in locking up Nico. I'd be interested in doing it as soon as this year. No, there needs to be some provisions that Nico Collins gives me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you know, we're signing you early, so maybe you don't get top 10 money.
Right.
Maybe we do some incentive-laden contract,
like sure
some perks there. So where you, if you play to this level, cool. Now you're going to be a top 7 paid receiver in the NFL. But if you don't, we have some insurances there as well in case you don't. So I'm okay with the idea of extending Nico this offseason. Now, I don't like getting double whammied on a player.
Right.
I don't like trading for a player using a premium draft pick. And I don't think that T. Higgins would go for, like, super crazy because, like, you're going to have to pay
him as
well.
He's got 1 year left. So.
Like, Tyreek was a first. Wasn't Devontae? Was Devontae a first?
Devontae should have been 2 firsts. They could have been 2 firsts if they tagged him. But they elected not to, and they got a first and a second.
See, I don't think T. Higgins is going to get a first.
See, that's what I'm saying. I was going to ask you guys right off the top. Who's better between T. Higgins and Nico Collins, now and for the long term?
Give me Nico.
Me too.
Yeah, I would Nico. Take Nico as well.
Me too. And so if that's the case, then I'm not interested in paying wide receiver one money and giving up premium draft capital to get a guy that I'm not so sure he's better than the guy that I already got.
Yeah, I mean, I think T. Higgins, without, you know, a guy like Jamar Chase on the other side where he's actually getting, you know, the majority of the targets, and there's no reason to say that he would here with Tank Dell and Nico Collins, but his upside, if he were, would be what Nico Collins just did. It'd be 1,209. So you already, to me, already have that guy.
It's the Russell Westbrook. You're great being Robin until you want to be Batman, and then the scenario takes a turn for the worst because you look at it and go, now instead of the other guy getting double teams and you being able to do what you do, like Higgins can do with Chase on the other side, now being true wide receiver one and getting those double teams and still being expected to perform at that level, that's a challenge that a lot of guys don't live up to.
Yeah, you can also, he could also be Harden, though, where he becomes the MVP of the league.
It's true.
Not that Higgins would, but, you know, be like, leaving one place where you're not the star and going somewhere else doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to fail. It could mean the opposite of where you succeed. But I also am a huge fan of locking up your own. I think it's good general philosophy building an organization. Hey, we're going to draft you. If you perform well, we're going to lock you up. We're going to take care of you. Like, that's how I believe organizations should be built. So I would rather give the extension to Nico. I don't have to use draft capital to trade for Higgins and then pay him,
right,
and then probably let Nico have to, like, leave altogether. So I'm not in favor of trading for
Higgins. And you don't
have
to worry about what Nico is and how he fits with your quarterback and your system because you already know. You could trade for a T. Higgins and expect the best. But T built, you know, fitting in, and then could he be as good or better than Nico? And if the answer is no, or I don't think so, or I'm not sure, then it just it answers the question for you. Then don't give up any draft capital and pay a huge amount of money to get him and see what you got in the final year of Nico. And if you already feel like at the start of the year he's good enough to sign long term, then do it.
Yeah, I would have been more interested in the other wide receiver that got traded over the weekend, and Jerry Jeudy. At least, you know, because
that was pretty cheap.
Yeah, cheaper for one, and two, to me, T. Higgins is basically – T. Higgins at his max potential is what Nico Collins just did, and they're similar wide receivers with their size and their speed and whatnot. So I think it's a little bit redundant. You'd have two wide receivers just kind of doing the same thing, whereas Jeudy, I think, would provide you a different element to the wide receiver room, diversify it a little bit, be someone that could work in the slot if Tank's on the outside or is also capable of working on the outside if Tank is in the slot. So that would have made more sense to me, but I'm completely out on trading assets. That's plus paying T. Higgins.
So it sounds like you're in favor of trading a fifth and a sixth for Jeudy. You think the Texans should have done this? How do you feel about that, Blinkers? You think the Texans should have traded a fifth and sixth for Jeudy?
I think it would be worth it. I think
I would have traded a fourth.
I wouldn't have gone that high. But if all you're having to give up is a fifth and a sixth to get a guy like Jerry Jeudy that you don't have to instantaneously pay, that ends up being a guy that fits in as whether he's the third best receiver on your team or if he turns out to be better than even advertised, then you have to, a good decision to make. But at the same time, I think he makes CJ and the offense better.
I'm out on him, too. Everybody that's talked about Jerry Jeudy's like, yeah, this guy's not good. The attitude's bad. Yeah. He's never open. When he's open, it's after quarterbacks go through their progressions. I don't know. I think Sean Payton kind of got everything on track a little bit last year. They won way more games than they were supposed to.
You're still in the locker room with Russell Wilson. I'd be willing to give a chance for a guy like Jerry Jeudy to come where he's got CJ with him, where he's got D'Amico Ryan's much better environment. You're winning more. I'd be willing to give a chance on that talent to flourish in a new situation, especially since we know the Texans have to, add a wide receiver at some point. You're talking about, we've talked about in the past with these mock drafts, like Adamy in the first, maybe second round.
The difference
now
with that,
you add that wide receiver with a fourth or a fifth round pick instead, I'd be all for that.
It'd be a rental. He's got a 1-year deal, and it's a pretty big number, $13 million per year, as opposed to drafting
Curtis,
a guy who you can have for
Curtis
4 years.
We talked about Curtis Samuel getting more than that earlier in the day. It's not that much.
I'd rather have Curtis Samuel.
That's fair.
I'd rather have Curtis Samuel than Jerry Jeudy.
Now, that's a different conversation.
That's fair. I'm just saying the number to me is an obstacle because Curtis Samuel was projected to get 14 a year.
Yeah, if Samuel and Jeudy are going to make the same salary and I get to keep my fifth and my sixth, yeah, I'm playing the free agency game.
Yeah, I mean, there is definitely some logic to that, but you would have to also commit to Samuel for multiple years, whereas Jeudy, you may view that as a negative or positive, I'm not sure. But at least with Jeudy, you'd have the 1 year, and you could eject if you didn't like it.
The reports on him are bad. You're trading draft capital, and they have fifth to sixth is not like, amazing draft capital. Maybe don't even make the team. But $13 million for a rental for a guy who doesn't have great reports on him, I wouldn't have done it. And I think that's why the price was so cheap, quite frankly, is because I think
Sean Payton was done
around
with
the
him.
League. Yeah, I think he's been done with him since last year.
Steve Smith got into it with him too, challenged him, and he went after Steve Smith before a game on the field, and they got into it. And then suddenly he did, and that's what it took to suddenly change the way he was acting and reacting and the way he was carrying himself.
I don't put the Steve Smith thing on Jerry Jeudy though.
I trust Steve Smith. He wanted Tank Dell. He said Tank Dell was his favorite receiver in the draft last year.
Steve Smith also
right.
called him out for saying that he wasn't.
That's right. Like when Jeudy got mad was because Steve Smith called him out, said some negative things.
Said he wasn't
Jeudy.
A wide receiver one. He was just a receiver.
Right. And then Steve Smith wanted to apologize for it, and Jerry Jeudy didn't accept the apology, which is Jerry Judy's right, isn't it?
Bush
you
league.
You don't have to.
But I trust that Steve Smith evaluates talent at the wide receiver position good enough to realize that if he ain't it, he ain't it.
I guess so, but I mean, part of what Steve Smith said about Jerry Jeudy was after that in anger, not so much in a fair evaluation.
Don't look back in anger. That's what they say. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. Would you trade for Higgins? Would you have traded a fifth and sixth for Jerry Jeudy? Astros, who are your projected, who do you think is going to lead the Astros in home runs? 713-780-3776. Who's going to lead the Stros in homers in 2024? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, tell you about my good friends at MyBookie. MyBookie are the people that I always tell you to go with when you want to put some money down because they've been in business for over a decade. They are here to help you, to take care of you, to get your gambling on when you want to get your gambling on. Your money is safe and secure, and they have a ton of different ways that they have promos going on to try and give you extra money to bet with. It's absolutely fantastic. You use our promo code Bet975 wherever you see an opportunity to put that code in, and you can literally cash in immediately. That means anything from $50 to $1,000. If you open up an account for the first time or you're reloading your account and you use our bonus, our code for the bonus, that means anything from $50 to $1,000, what you put in, they'll put in. So you put $100 in, you get $200 in your account instantly. More games you can bet on, more chances to win because there's more money in your account. It's absolutely fantastic. They also have ways where if you get a friend to sign up, you get a bonus. And also when they have all the games going on and the live games going that you can get in on from all the different sports, and we're talking right now about baseball around the corner, but college and pro basketball, NHL hockey, soccer, UFC, you name it, they've got it, golf and everything else. But the other thing that they have going on for you is there are no games going on, but you feel like gambling, you don't have to drive to the casino. You can get your gambling on right in the comfort of your own home because they have live dealers standing by with casino games like poker and blackjack. It's absolutely fantastic, but remember that code and use it to really cash in. It's Bet975. Do what I always tell you to do. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere. With the only place I tell you to do it, it's mybookie.ag and use our promo code Bet975.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Brian's hot today. Stay hot, kid. Look at that.
On the ones and twos, just DJing his tail off.
Look at that turnaround. That's impressive stuff there. And, you know what? I'm never calling Brian non-talent again. Lone producer that we've ever had.
Producer one?
That I'm calling talent.
Prod one?
Dell is now talent. We had Dell way back in the day. He's now graduated to talent.
Now he's Mophie and Mapes. What happened?
Brendan is not talent. Joe is not talent. Joe also graduated to talent. That's right. Joe actually he did graduate to talent. A big trade in the NFL. Brian Burns has been traded to the New York Football Giants. Where's Todd the show? The Giants then signed Brian Burns on a 5-year, $150 million deal.
Yikes.
Lost the guarantee here. You said it was 87.5 guaranteed. 87.5 guaranteed.
30 a year average?
The AAV is 30 a year, 87.5 guaranteed. The Panthers traded.
Now that's 150 max. So a true AAV wouldn't be 30 million unless he hit all his incentives.
Yeah, unless he hit everything. And he stayed there for all 5 years. The Panthers get a second and a fifth for Brian Burns. So
the Panthers did all right.
If Brian Burns is a better player than Grenard, and he signed for 30 million a year. Versus Grenard's $19 million a year, most they can make. 87.5 guaranteed versus Grenard's, what, 41, 42.5 guaranteed. He got more than twice the guarantee. If the Panthers could get a second and a fifth for that, what could the Texans have gotten for Grenard?
I still think a third.
I think a third's the answer.
Yeah.
Third, which I would have done. If I would have hindsight 2020, revisionist history, if I know now, or if I knew then what I know now, and we assume that the Texans could have got Grenard or could have got a third for Grenard, I'd tag him. I'd tag John Grenard.
Yeah, I don't know. Seeing that it was a second and fifth for Burns, who, I mean, obviously proven it a lot longer than Jonathan Grenard's one, you know, season at this level of play, I'm kind of leaning to where it might have been a fourth.
That second's going to be a tie. If it's this year, it's going to be in the top 10 of the second round.
True.
So you're looking at it. Where are they picking?
They're six,
picking
I think.
So that's a top 40 pick.
But think about the market,
true.
Too.
That is a really good pick.
Think about the market. I think that Nick and we were talking about the fact that a lot of people thought, well, maybe Grenard's not going to be one of the top-tier free agents that goes off the board first. Obviously, teams were looking at him. You could have controlled the market of where he went, and maybe that drives the price up a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that you had to give him the huge salary, too. Like, that's okay. Like, okay, we want him. We're giving up a second and a fifth. We got to give this huge contract. That's a lot for Burns, man. That's a great player. That's a lot. You give up a second and a fifth, and then you pay him that deal.
Especially for, I mean, a Giants team. Does anyone view them as that close?
No.
And let a really good safety go. You traded out for some of your defensive linemen. You were thinning it out, and you weren't great. I mean, actually, you were great a year ago, but you're letting those players go. Now you got rid of Wink Martindale, who was your saving grace in a lot of ways because your defense was winning you football games and keeping you in games. And now you add Brian Burns. Martindale's gone. You let your safety walk. How much better are you on defense?
The only rationale I could think of is, I mean, I think it was Mark Ross who talked about this with us last week, Joel, about how his Giants team won their two Super Bowls. Even though Eli was quarterback, they won it because they had elite pass rushers across the defensive front. And maybe that's just the thinking. Like, look, the last time we actually did anything, we had elite defensive linemen all across our defensive front. And Brian Burns is obviously near the top of the list as far as elite defensive linemen.
Yeah, no.
I still don't think it really gets him there, but maybe that's the rationale.
Well, plus you start thinking about all the other decisions that still have to be made and the money that they're overspending on Daniel Jones they can get out after this year. He's going to be their quarterback this year, but then their draft, they're not going to enhance the defense. They're looking offense. They're looking quarterback. They're looking receiver. They're looking for trying to find ways to do something different with their offense. But their defense, like I said, was their mainstay, and they're letting a lot of those guys walk too.
I do think it tells us the Giants are out of the conversation to trade up to secure a top three pick to get one of those three quarterbacks. And instead of letting somebody we'll let somebody slide to them. Because the second round pick would have been part of the ammunition they would have needed to get up to that pick. So I think they're going to stick at six. Hope one guy falls to him. And if not, maybe they look somewhere else besides quarterback.
Yeah. 713-780-ESPN. So we're counting down to opening day. Astros will open against the Yankees. Maybe they won't see Gerrit Cole. Haven't heard about this MRI. So our countdown to opening day, 17 days out. They open on the 28th. So we're going to go through all of these, you know, numbers, stats, et cetera, and we're going to draft players who we think are going to lead the Astros in these categories. You can play along at home, 713-780-3776. But we're going to do draft order, and none of us can pick the same player to make it interesting. And then we get one for – we just get, you know, 1 point for each one that we get right.
The Glenn Davis cards?
Winner – I don't have the – I didn't see them out there. The winner gets their lunch bought for them by the loser. Sound good?
And the middleman is out, just –
he just gets to watch everybody.
Middleman breaks free.
Does that sound good?
Yeah, sure.
We in on that?
I'm sure. In.
Okay, all right. So today we're doing home runs. We haven't drawn for this. So high number, go first, and then we'll just rotate each day.
Mm-hmm.
So first pick – well, I have to – put the numbers in here real quick. All right. Blanker's going to go first. He gets the 18. He gets 18. That's not a good number. I'll go second. I get 46. BMAC, 90. So, Brian, me, Blanker's is our order here.
Mm.
Brian, Branham, blank, our order. So, Brian will get the first pick.
Gee, Brian,
today.
I wonder which way you're going.
Tomorrow will be RBIs, stolen bases, blah, 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 blah. We'll just go down
now, will
the list
we,
here.
Will we reverse when we get to RBI, or is it going to be the same RBIs order for every stat? I asked that question partially because I could say RBI.
No, so tomorrow I'll be first. Blankers
okay,
will be second.
So we'll reverse.
No,
that,
we just that. Yeah, we're gonna go through okay. it. We're not gonna let the random.org determine like you're the first pick every single day. So we're gonna today just sets the order.
And I'll keep it quick. There's no reason. I mean, I can make a case for maybe two other guys, but Yordan Alvarez. That's got to be the pick if you got the number one.
All right, so Brian's got Yordan here, which a couple of the textures, we asked the question, 713-780-3776, who's going to lead the Astros in home runs? 4776, if Alvarez plays 85% of the season, he'll win MVP. Every year's or top 10.
I like that as a category.
As long as he plays 51 games in left field when he does it, I'd be just absolutely – static.
3338. If it's not Yordan, then something bad happened.
I mean, to agree. That was obviously the one that we all would have taken.
Yeah. It has to be.
Because I thought about this morning. Well, can we take him out of the equation to make it even more interesting?
Yeah. Well, I mean, he could get hurt.
It's true.
He could definitely get hurt. So Brian's got Yordan. I'm going to go with the Astros cleanup man this year. I'm going to go with Kyle Tucker. Maybe Kyle Tucker explodes, has a career high in homers. Maybe he gets to 35. Like, I think Yordan's going to win this home run leader, but he does have injury proneness. Second most likely to lead the team in home runs, I'm going to go with Kyle Tucker.
Yeah, I got two possibilities. I got one.
Now the true decision happens.
Jake Myers.
No, and you know that.
How far do we have to go down the list Jake to get you to say Jake Myers?
We all just get one pick and it's done, right?
Yeah.
So then it doesn't matter. I mean, it's obviously it's between Yiner and Jose Altuve.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yiner, that's interesting.
Yeah, because Yiner could be your sleeper pick to have a breakout, and then like you said, if you combo that with some guy, one of those guys or both of those guys are injury prone or slowing a little bit, that he might be in the mix. I think, man, my gut tells me to take Altuve. My chances of winning tells me to take Yiner because he could really go crazy. I'm going to go Altuve.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, he's had multiple 31 home run seasons. So.
If he gets in the 30s, I'm at least.
You got a chance.
I got a chance.
And with health, he's going to get the most plate appearances.
That's true.
So, like, I think that should factor into your. I would have taken Altuve there. No, Alex Bregman didn't enter your thought at all?
No, 23 pounds isn't going to be enough to get him in the competition, I don't think.
You don't like that he's beefed up?
I like it. No, I really don't, actually.
I'm not a fan of it.
But if he beefed up to hit more bombs, he's got to hit more bombs than two of the better guys at doing it in the American League. I don't think he's going to compete with Tucker and Yordan.
Yeah, Yiner's chances are hurt by where he's hitting in the order. And then he's going to catcher. Like, are we sure that he's going to DH every game that he's not catching? I'm not. I mean, Yordan's going to DH a good amount of games. So if Yiner's, you know, not catching every fifth day, is he DHing every single one of those fifth days? Probably not. I think it's difficult to pick a catcher to lead any team in home runs unless they're, you know, the permanent DH whenever they're not catching, which we don't know that to be the case yet with Yiner Diaz. And Yiner hasn't been that good in spring training either, by the way.
We know about his splits, too. So something we'll see I'm looking on a full schedule of him playing a majority of the games, how his numbers are going to look.
Something I've been looking from the corner of my eye, Yiner's offensive production in spring training. So to wrap it up, Brian takes Yordan. lock of the century. I go with Kyle Tucker. Blankers has got Altuve. Who do you think leads the Astros in home runs? 713-780-3776. We'll do one of these each day until opening day. I think we have to do a doubleheader on one of them because we started today, which is fine. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. When we come back, car wreck of the day. What are you nominating for our car wreck of the day? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Mike Holley, U of H class of 1990. He's been protecting the interests of businesses for nearly 25 years. He used to protect a Heisman Trophy winner. Now he protects your business. He's in the business of protecting your business. Chris Fisher over there as well. Great people at HR&P. You'll love the people that work over there. Their customer service is elite. They're fantastic. They take care of their people. Anytime I have a question, I always get a quick response. Very easy to understand. Very appreciative of that. But HR&P provides that comprehensive human capital management services you've been looking for. HR compliance, benefits and administration, payroll. They're doing these things. That way you don't have to. They're chores for you. We get that. Spend your time back in efforts you want to spend your time. Maybe growing your business. Maybe getting out on the golf course a little bit more. HR&P will help you out. They'll work with you to customize a plan for whatever you need. There's nothing cookie cutter about HR&P. If you need a little help, a lot of help, anything in between, HR&P will create a plan for what you and your business needs. Their customer service, second to none. You'll never talk to a stranger on the other side of the line. You'll be calling someone that's familiar with you, familiar with your company. I can speak to that customer service. I always get a quick response anytime I have a question. Let HR&P take on the demands of human resources and eliminate your HR burden so you can get back to growing your business. Give them a call right now, 281-880-6525, and let HR&P customize a plan for you, 281-880-6525, or check them out at hrp.net. That's hrp.net.
You all right?
My leg is broken. The bone's coming through.
Let me see. Give me all you brick. Where's my money?
This is the car wreck of the day.
He's Blank. I'm Brad. I'm literally nominated for the car wreck of the day. 713-780-ESPN. HR&P listener line. 713-780-3776. Blankers, what are you nominating?
I think the first thing was the ending to the LSU-South Carolina game that I happened to be flipping channels and found. If you missed it, South Carolina, obviously the best women's team in the country. LSU, really good team. Coaches are both very well known. Benches end up clearing. The player for LSU, long story short, got upset that she got picked. They called timeout. There was some pushing and shoving. The center for South Carolina comes over and decks her with a big push. She hits the ground. Her brother came out of the stands over the press table, was escorted, as the sideline reporter said, in handcuffs off the court. And then both benches were ejected, and there were 5-on-5 for the final 3.5 minutes.
Yeah. I don't mind the players getting in the altercation.
I know you love drama.
That's just good, hard basketball. Play
it
on.
It was fun to watch, I'll tell you that.
Now, I didn't love the South Carolina big girl cheap-shotting LSU's girl. I thought that was...
LSU's like, girl had it coming, though, too.
Yeah, but to get cheap-shotted from behind, like, let the person who got into the altercation handle it.
That's true. And on top of that...
Or, like, tap her on the shoulder and be like, let's go. Like, that's fine, but don't just cheap-shot her. Like, tap her on the shoulder, square up, let's go. I don't like the blindside thing. I'm not a fan of that.
I don't like the brother coming out of this.
That's the worst part.
You can't have civilians in the stands coming out onto the floor, even if it is your sister in the middle of an athletic competition.
Yeah, they should. Not only should they have handcuffed them and escorted them out of the arena, they should have thrown the book at them.
Should also be banned from.
You can't be a fan coming onto the games. Court. Like the players getting into the scrum, like that's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Like the big girl taking out the other girl from the back, the blind side. Not a fan of that, but you're going to see that a little bit. Like Kermit Washington did that to Rudy T.
Right.
Blindside. I'm not a fan of the blindside. You want to fight? Hey, tap him on the shoulder. Square up, fight like they do in hockey. I don't like the blindsided stuff. But the guy jumping out of the stands easily, the biggest car wreck that came out of that.
And then the two coaches' reactions was night and day as well. As Dawn Staley was already apologizing, saying that's not a good look for our sport and everything that we've got going. And she apologized. And then Kim Mulkey said the exact opposite and said, instead of pushing my smaller player, push Angel Reese and see how that goes for you.
Yeah, Kim Mullet didn't handle that great.
Like in Jeremy's never-ending quest to be John Granato when he grows up, that he referred to the LSU player as, quote, the big girl multiple times.
it was South Carolina girl.
Or South Carolina.
Girl. Yeah.
She was a big girl.
Cardono?
She's like 6'5".
You're on the way to being Granado. I like
it. No, she's a big girl. She's 6'5".
It's not that it's going to hurt him in the first round of the tournament, but she actually is the one player that has to sit out the first round of the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, they won't. Yeah, they have no problem getting by the 16 seed.
They get lucky to beat Tennessee, though, in the semis.
Couldn't tell you. Serie A manager Roberto Di Aversaro fired for headbutting an opposing player after a 1-0 loss.
Is that a way to go out. Is that frowned upon?
Headbutting other players frowned upon. Even in soccer, where you're allowed to use your head.
Interesting.
Yeah, that was, I'm
and
sure.
And there's a whole lot of flopping in soccer, but I don't think you can flop from getting headbutted.
You can. You can embellish the contact.
Now, the headbutt's going to probably hurt no matter what.
Yeah, it probably hurt. But he got sacked. He got sacked for headbutting an opposing player. Woody Hayes.
Yeah,
in
I
Serie
was trying
A.
to think of the reference. Yeah, he punched a player for. Was it from Michigan?
I think Woody Hayes is the one who came on the field and tackled a player.
He's done multiple.
I'm trying to think of
he
the
did that.
Team,
he grabbed
though.
A face mask. He's punched a helmet.
That's okay. That's just good coaching.
In today's day and age, it's not
That's
okay.
just tough love. That's just tough coaching.
Yeah, in today's age, we have players like Travis Kelce anymore. Chest bumping their coaches instead of the opposite.
That's not
the
getting
other
airborne
way around.
Anymore.
You have a nomination here, Brian?
Yeah, I'm going to nominate myself, actually, for initially thanking Devin Singletary had re-signed with the Texans and briefly misleading you guys. That was definitely an error on my part.
Good job. That's a good job.
You owned it.
Self-report.
Any others?
Didn't you come back with another one?
No, I don't think so.
He was great.
He came back with another one where he misread it, and
I think I said Mike Ford as a running back initially.
But he was great all show. He came up with great.
The music,
great,
was great.
Alliteration.
The bumpers.
The rejoins were really good.
Yeah, Singletary to the Texans though. That one's an E on me.
Fringe young quarterbacks: Kenny Pickett bench for Russell Wilson, and then Mac Jones trade for a measly sixth.
A sixth, and the big story is. He's from Jacksonville. He gets to go home. He ain't starting.
No. He's on the final year of his deal, too. So they traded a six for 1 year of Mac Jones.
Boy.
Francis Ngannou destroyed Anthony Joshua. Woo. I hope that this tells everybody that these non-boxers going to fight these real boxers, this is how it ends up whenever a boxer's really trying.
Yeah.
Whenever it's scripted, like Floyd Mayweather, Conor McGregor, like any of the Paul brothers, you can make a guy look strong. But when a boxer really wants to go toe-to-toe with somebody, that's not a boxer. This is how it really ends.
I mean, Ngannou got up from the first knockdown. And look, all credit for him to even getting in the ring with Anthony Joshua, who's probably one of the most scary guys in the sport, especially at the heavyweight division. But, I mean, the difference in a boxer or non-boxer was really evident after he got up, because he just walked right into a straight right hand that Anthony Joshua placed on his chin with ease, and down he went. Fight was over.
Yeah. Non-boxers.
That was not good.
This is how real non-boxers look like when they go up against boxers. Angel Hernandez, he threw out Lance Lynn and Oliver Marmol. Is that how it's pronounced?
Uh-huh.
Threw him out of a spring training game.
For what?
I don't have no idea. I couldn't figure it out. I watched the video of it.
Whoa. Breaking news during Car Wreck of the Day. Austin Eckler has signed with the Washington Commanders.
Oh, that's such a tease.
Wow.
2 years, $11.4 million.
So,
another running back off the board.
Five and a half is the market there.
Damian Pierce, RB1.
What is Henry going to get? Dallas has got to get Henry, right?
I'm assuming Henry gets
Hopefully the Texans.
Because Dallas was kicking the tires on A.J. Dillon. Good luck with that. Go ahead, try that.
Popular prediction for Derrick Henry. So
who?
We'll see. The Ravens.
Ravens and Cowboys are the two teams
Ravens
I've heard
Cowboys
linked to him.
For sure. Texans were on the list that we did once for it was a CBS article that we did. So it's a possibility, but I think Ravens or Cowboys probably.
Aaron Wilson said that the Barkley and the Texans were close. Texans were extremely competitive. 3 years, a bit more than $33 million.
That's what I had heard as well. Yep. Did you guys, by the way, happen to see Sugar Sean O'Malley's?
Yeah, I watched it.
That knee?
The knee
to the head? Mm-hmm. Oh, that looked like it was extremely painful.
Was that in the O'Malley fight or on the undercard?
No, that was in the O'Malley fight. The running knee kick to the face, the head that just
I was dozing in
was
and
a
out.
Direct hit.
I was trying so hard to stay awake, and I was dozing in and out. I didn't see the flying knee.
Oh, my God. Let me show it to you.
UFC 300 coming up.
Coming up before that, Glenn Davis and Soccer Matters. Don't forget about that.
I'm not going to.
Okay, well, I'm just telling you.
He
doesn't want
yet.
Us to.
We're not going to forget about Soccer Matters. Don't worry. Who's going to win?
I think...
The fight? from South Carolina?
I think specifically the guy who jumped out of the stands.
Yeah, exactly.
Specifically the guy who jumped out of the stands. All right, he can win it. Congratulations. He's apparently like a rapper.
Is he? Now he was sitting with his mom.
I think he's related to a rapper somehow.
His mom had to come down and get water from the bench, and she was like, she looked like she was kind of almost hyperventilating, but she was all right. But he jumped over the scorer's table and got. And I would be concerned if my son's going to jail.
3338. Why would they have scripted McGregor to go 10 rounds? To make him look strong. That does it for us. Soccer Matters coming up next. Man City Liverpool yesterday. Glenn Davis all over it. You don't want to miss Soccer Matters. Thanks so much, Brian, doing all the hard work. He's Blank. I'm Branham. We'll talk to you tomorrow, Houston. Soccer Matters next on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.